In the dark, I fed my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, P-I-M-P, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 339 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living.
Permaculture P-I-M-P, with soulful grace, in a VIP Pimpcast, where we find our place.
Oh yeah, well, good to be here with y'all today. Looks like I'm going to be operating solo on this one, but it's all good because I am a professional. How about that? This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from TwoOldCrowsHomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest. Yeah, they're still an advertiser with us. So anyway, you know, you're going to get 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself. Everything you can't source, go check them out because you're going to be glad you did. Really good company, and they sell a lot of good stuff. In fact, the seeds we planted from them last year are batting 1,000, man. They are really, really kicking. All right, if you're here on the live, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live. So, as always, the moderation will be done by Renewed Homestead. Glad to have them back. And, yeah, like, boy, I can definitely relate. It's like, what do they say? When it rains, it pours. Now, that's more than an expression as of late because it's been doing a lot of raining around here, at least here anyway. And, man, it's, you ever notice that it's like in the winter, if you have an old vehicle or something, that's when you're always going to find out when, you know, things break. It always, at least for me anyway, it always happens in the winter. So, and then there's that time in the summer where, you know, I'm out there sweating buckets, man. I can't even remember the last time I've had to go through so much doggone salt. And it's like, and I can't even blame anybody else. I got to blame me. Like I'm down there flipping these piles today. So I'll just jump right into it. I'm down there flipping these compost piles. And I get down there, think I got everything, but my brain has too many doggone squirrels running around in it. And I know a lot of you guys and girls can relate to that right now. And I go down there, I think I got everything I need, and I'm usually really good part. I'm really good about the mise en place part of things, you know, the preparedness. I usually think a project through from start to finish. I usually grab everything I need. And if I need anything else, it's usually quite minor. But good night, man. I go down to the compost barn and I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot this. Okay, let me go back up there and get it. And then I get back down there and then I forgot something else. And then what it comes down to, honestly, is that I just like so many, I think like a lot of other people, there's so many crazy things going on in the world right now that you have got, you've got to work twice as hard, I think, to stay focused these days. I think everybody does. And certainly I'm no exception to that. And today was definitely proof of that. So speaking of farm news, I'll just jump right into it. So I'm doing a number of experiments right now in terms of compost and compost making. I think I talked about it. I'm pretty sure I talked about it in the last podcast. I'll just kind of recap real quick and then let you know where I'm at, because I think it's going to apply to a lot of folks out there. Anyway, I have these two piles where I did a thermophilic. Let me back up a little bit more, okay? So I bought a cubic yard of this mushroom compost, which was absolutely awful. I mean, we tested it, absolutely awful. Probably had a bunch of biosolids and who knows what else in it. Anyway, looking at it under the microscope, all it had, and typically this is what you're going to find when you buy any of that bagged stuff or anything from these municipalities, you're going to find out you got a lot of bacteria and that's it. You don't have any nematodes, you don't have any protozoa, you don't have any arthropods, you don't have any fungi, you don't have any of those things, and you definitely don't have any worms. So inside of about a month, we ended up taking that stuff to where it had absolutely nothing, and it's turned around into being biocomplete, meaning And I'll give you just a brief example of what that means. To be officially biocomplete, you have to have 135, and I'm just giving you one example, 135 micrograms per gram of bacteria and fungi each, okay? We are well over the line, well over the line. And as of now, I think I can't help but think we're even way further past that line. Anyway, now what I've done is I got another little experiment going, and I'm doing a thermophilic compost pile on some very, very, very old wood chips, to the point where these chips, if you dig down deep enough, they look like compost. That's how old they are. I mean, I'm getting this stuff from a place where, you know, a lot of people, I think, go out there to get wood chips from time to time. It's by this college that's near me. But I dare say almost nobody digs down deep enough to get to the really, really good stuff. Most people want to go there and just get something to put around their trees or their garden bed, whatever the case may be, if they get anything at all. So I'm going down deep and I'm getting some of this stuff and I'm like, wow, it's been here so long that it's nearly compost already. But the reason I'm using that is that I know that it has a super high fungal compost, a fungal component, if it is in fact nearly compost. So I've taken that stuff, made a thermophilic compost up. Look, if you want to know the process on doing that, we've done tons of videos on it. William has as well. And I've done even a step-by-step tutorial even on Patreon on how to do that. So anyway, the idea is if my theory holds up, and I suspect it is, just when you do this long enough, you can look at it, you can smell it, you can see it, you can feel it. You can use your five senses, and you can pretty much tell whether or not that's good compost or not. Now, we don't just... You could rely on that with enough experience. In fact, I mean, I can tell you what the microscope results are going to be 9 times out of 10 before we ever look at it under the microscope. I mean, I can't give you exact numbers, but I know whether or not it's good. And you can learn that too. That's why one of these days I'd love to do an in-person compost class, because there are so many nuanced things that I can't teach through a video platform. I can't tell you what it should smell. Yeah, I can tell you it should smell like forest soil. But I can't tell you what it feels like, you know, and have that translate well. So anyway, preliminary tests so far are looking like this stuff is going to be the cat's meow. And I'm talking to the point where it's more fungal dominant, far more fungal dominant than it is with bacteria. Now, why would that mean anything to anybody out there? Remember what I said. That's why when people put molasses and stuff in their compost piles, I kind of cringe, because that's bacterial food. That is not fungal food. Okay. So the number one problems that we look with, that we see under a microscope, is not enough fungi. It's never, ever, in, I don't think we've ever seen a single sample where the bacteria wasn't sufficient. Unless it was that bag soil and there was no bacteria at all. Bacteria is usually easy to come by. It's the fungi that is a little more difficult. So that's exactly what I'm shooting for. So I'm thinking, okay, let's say you got a pasture. Now, in a pasture setting, you want at least a 50-50 mix of bacteria and fungi. Now, if your fungi is through the roof when you stick it out there, who cares? Because I guarantee in most pastures, you don't have any at all. So if the fungi is through the roof and you put it in a pasture that is all bacteria, you should see results even faster. So that's exactly why I'm doing that experiment. Sorry about going about the long-winded way around, but that's exactly what the plan is to take all of these wonderful experiments. And so far, folks, I'm telling you, my socks are blown off with all the things we're discovering just with experimentation, doing our own experimentation, and honestly giving a serious hat tip to the people out there that have done incredible work in this space. Now, the problem with it is, to a certain extent, like academia, where everybody's siloed. Okay, for example, you know how they built the nuclear bomb? You know, there was, 250,000 people involved with making the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and not a word got out of it. Ever wonder why? So anybody that tells you, a little side note, that the government can't keep a secret, that's one of many secrets they keep, and they do it by compartmentalization. And then what General Groves, Leslie Groves, he was basically the guy who was the puppeteer behind all the scientists that created the atom bomb. He would keep them siloed. And believe it or not, what he did then extends to this day. So how far could we be in the medical sciences if everybody wasn't siloed into their own little compartments, if they would share the information? Let's say the biochemists were talking to the MDs and the MDs were talking to the dentists. And you get my point? That's exactly what's happening and has happened in the farm space, folks. I kid you not. And it hasn't even been done on to a certain extent in some places out there. Yes, this siloing has been done on purpose in the academic sense. But even in the private sense, we still have learned nothing in terms of unsiloing ourselves. Now, there are people out there like John Kemp and a number of others, a very short list of others. When I say very short, I can think of two. That's it. Including ourselves, I mean, that are actually looking in disciplines that are not fundamentally part of the discipline that you're looking at. For example, why aren't the soil people looking into electroculture? Why aren't the electroculture people looking into biodynamic? Why aren't the biodynamic people? I think you get the point. So we self-silo, or we come across the work of somebody we like, and then we keep ourselves in these in these matrices that we prepared for ourselves. And that's exactly what I don't want to do. And that's exactly why we comp. I mean, if you look at our food forests and our orchards, this is precisely why I tell you, and I give you all the resources. I'm not taking any of the credit except for maybe combining some of these things. So that's exactly what we're doing in the soil space. Whereas in a permaculture orchard, I don't just take Stefan Subkoviak's work. I overlay it. I'm like, okay, are there any contraindications if I combine it with Jeff Lawton? Oh, no? Okay, let me take some of Jeff Lawton's, put it in here. Oh, what if I take some of Mark Shepard? Can I weave that into here that where it makes sense? And there are no contraindications. You see what I mean? This is where I think a lot of us would do well, regardless of the discipline. That's one thing I got to say that I learned being a tradesman for so many years as an electrical. When you're coming up in the apprenticeship, you work with so many, when you're an apprentice, you work with so many different journeymen, and you learn what to do and you learn what not to do. Not all of them are great journeymen, but you have the blessing of having worked with so many people that you've seen the same task done so many different times that when it's time for you to do it on your own, you can say, okay, I'm going to take a piece of old Newt Furtick over here. I'm going to take some Larry Dunnigan over here. These are guys I worked with. I mean, these were old guys in the trade when I got in. And I'm like, okay, man, that's really cool. But why don't we do this in all the other disciplines, especially in farming? And it drives me crazy because somebody will find somebody they love, the information they like, it tickles their ears, and they're like, okay, that's, believe me, folks, that's a really good place to start. But as soon as you feel competent with, let's say, the way Joel does his chickens, then maybe, just maybe, you can overlay it with a technique that maybe you got from Jeff Lawton that makes it just a little bit easier or efficient or better. Or maybe it isn't better, but at least you do the experimentation. And I know that a lot of folks have money on the line right now. The point I'm trying to make in this long monologue, I guess, that I'm really trying to convey is I have never, ever, ever, ever in my adult life let myself be siloed. And it's a work. I'm not saying I got it all figured out because trust me, if you think I'm perfect, go ask my wife. She'll tell you about all the things I get wrong. And she's absolutely correct about it too. But my point being is I've never let myself get siloed in a way of thinking. And I've had so many proverbial smacks in the mouth every time I started doing that sort of thing. So that's exactly what I'm doing with this compost here, folks. And there was a larger lesson in there. I didn't expect to go there, but that's exactly where I wanted to go, is that we can be We can be the best thing in the world for ourselves, or we could also be the worst, depending on how we take this information and whether or not you just sit here and do you take it past where you found it? You know, I've said the saying before, but it was Da Vinci that wrote in his notebooks, the ones that they discovered later. It's a poor pupil that does not surpass his master. I truly, truly believe that. Because if you're standing on the shoulders of what they've done, you should be able to push it further. And that's exactly what I hope we're doing in soil science. So, yeah, I'll quit beating that dead horse. Anyway, so the other things I was going to talk about here, other things that we have around the farm, okay? It's that stuff you do every single day, or it's a long task that you got to break down. And one of those is weed eating. I got to weed eat this silver grass because so many things were just going on and I let it get ahead of me. There will come a time when the silver grass does not come back. We've proven that we know how to get rid of it. The problem is you have got to stay on top of it. And other invasive, I shudder to use that word, but it fits right now because it was brought in by the government and nothing eats it except for water buffalo. And last I checked, I ain't in Vietnam. So ain't nobody got no water buffaloes up here in the mountains. If they do, I don't know about it. Anyway, you know, it's these rhythmic, mundane things over and over and over for all the people out there that are considering this life that you have got to seriously think about, because there are going to be days where you're doing the same repetitive task over and over and over and over again, and it feels like it's never going to end. So I do little mental tricks because I'm that kind of person. Williams is the same exact way, where, I mean, there is no nasty job. People cringe at the jobs I don't mind doing. I mean that. Cleaning out a septic tank, I've done it before. I mean, didn't bother me one bit. But you know what I can't stand? Painting. Yep. Or rhythmic tasks. Painting, I don't know what it is about painting a wall, but I would rather, if anybody's looking for a way to truly torture me, that would be what you have me do. But it could also be that way with other tasks, like going out here doing this weed eating. So I got to play little mental tricks, and this is what you may have to do as well. So I told, I think everybody in the audience here, it's my goal to memorize the whole book of Psalm. Well, maybe that's a good time for me to practice reciting what I know or what I think I know at that point. Maybe it's another time for you to catch up on a podcast. Now, these days, I'm trying to be more and more careful about what I stick in my ears or what I put on them. And by and large, unless I'm weed eating, that's about the only time. But that might be a good time to catch up on a podcast. But it's things like that, those rhythmic, what feel like never-ending tasks. But remember, this is a war you don't win in miles. You win it in inches. And so that's what I go out there and do. I go out there, pick a spot. Okay, I want to get this far, and then I'm going to call it good. Then I'll jump on to another task. So that's one way of going about it. Got our potatoes out here that are nearly ready, and we should be having a lot of them. And we grew it in that soil, that same crappy, no-good soil, but I treated it in place while the potatoes were in there. So I'm hoping that what I think has happened, and I hope we'll get a bumper crop of potatoes out of there. I think we're going to. But this stuff couldn't grow anything before treating it. But usually I treat it first and then put it out, but I was treating it in place while growing potatoes at the same time. So I guess we'll see what's happening there. Another little thing is got these pollen traps. I got them on a little bit late with the bees out there. So what I had been doing for a while there, and I've talked about this on Patreon a little bit, I was out there buying bee pollen from other people. I'm like, this is stupid, man. Why don't I just go out here and buy some pollen traps and do it? So that's what I've been doing. I've been collecting the pollen every day. Got them on way too late. I should have put them on about a month and a half ago. But I'm collecting that pollen, and it's as local can be, and I'm trying to eat as local as I possibly can these days. And, so that's another little feather in the cap. And of course, it was said that every single morning, Ronald Reagan would put bee pollen on his toast. So, maybe he knew something. A lot of the older folks did. And then finally, we got the baby chicks out there. We got, those breast birds that I hatched out. I haven't done a video or anything on them, to be honest with you. We got about 10 of them, and a lot of the eggs didn't hatch out, but you know, the ones that did, there was like five from each batch. But hey, I can work with that, man. I'll go get a rooster when the time comes, and we'll make more little breast birds. So not the end of the world, but we'll just, I was going to go ahead and get rid of all the laying flock I have out there now, but I'll just use these guys when they get old enough and they're able to, you know, fend for themselves. I'll go ahead and integrate them into the flock I currently have. And then, because I need more, I drink bone broth every day, so I need some of those stew chickens out of there and into the freezer. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and, you know, downsize those guys as needed. But everything's looking good. These little chicks are out there, but, you know, typical. Look, they got bird brains, man. When you stick them out there, that's one of the parts that is a little bit, it can be a little bit frustrating at first with the way we manage things, is they'll find their way out of the tractor, but it's going to take about a week for them to finally fully figure out how to get back in. And I've done a video a while back on how to easily train your chicks to get back in. So anyway, that's another little thing we got going on too. All right, y'all, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And look, you know me. When I'm doing this show, my bare feet right now are on this Redemption Shield mat. So I'm G'd up from the feet up, and I mean grounded. So 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch. Billy 100, I was at a Freedom meeting yesterday for a little while, and every time I wear that thing, man, people are like, what on earth? Where did you get a watch that big? And now they make them smaller, but I got the Generation 1, so anyway, ain't nothing wrong with it. Still works, and I've never been one to follow the dictates of fashion, so I couldn't care less that it looks like I'm calling in artillery on somebody. Anyway, Billy 100 will get you $100 off of that Wave Watch. Now, Kentucky Sustainable Living is right around the corner. That's going to be July 18th through the 20th. William is going to be there teaching, and going to meet a lot of great people there as well. So Homesteaders United Jamboree, that's going to be August 28th through the 30th. I will not be there, but a number of others will, and you'll have to go to the website and get any more information on that. Now, this one I am going to be at, and that's the East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. Yeah, that's a mouthful. That's going to be September 12th and 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee. So come out there, hang out. It was a great time last year, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then cool thing about these festivals too is that you come across a lot of people that you don't ordinarily there's a lot of us that kind of run into one another at these things. So it's always cool to go there and see some old faces, make new friends, and the whole nine yards. But anyway, I'll be out there talking soil, and hope to see a lot of you there. So yeah, go check them all out. East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival, September 12th. 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee. All right. So let's talk about some of that good news out there. Now, some of you are probably shocked thinking, hold on, he ain't going to mention anything about all the crazy stuff going on right now. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'll be honest with you, folks. For the most part, I'm largely over it. Well, okay. Let me, I guess that requires an explanation. Where do I even start? I've already made up in my mind that new boss, the same as the old boss. Everybody's been sold out. Not only the diehards or the people unwilling to see it are just going to, I mean, you've been sold out one up one side and down the other. Well, isn't that why we talk about what we do here? Isn't that why we prepare? Now, I will have to eat a little crow. So far, I've been right. I made a prediction. I said, when Trump gets back in, all these people that were in the preparedness movement, I've seen it over and over again. They go right back into the matrix. And they did. But I don't think they're going to stay there. I thought they were going to stay there the entire presidency. And now folks are starting to realize, oh, shoot, we're not getting the Epstein list. We were promised that. He practically ran on it. Okay. Wow, we're going to give weapons to Ukraine. Grandma ain't got no heart medication. But yeah, we got money to give to, you know, Ukraine to go buy more weapons. I mean, everywhere you turn, and then you got the diehards. Remember, I'm a political atheist, folks, so don't give me this nonsense about, oh, you're anti-Trump. No, no, no. I'm an anti-all political, not right, not left, none of that stuff. I'm anti-all of it, okay? You're with the Constitution, I'm with you. And none of these people are, except maybe Thomas Massie. And all the rest of them are absolutely bought and paid for. And so I just kind of came to a revelation thinking, okay, well, yeah, I'll talk about that stuff from time to time. But to a certain extent, I guess I'm talking about the antidote. What we need to be doing to get past what they're doing. They're destroying our money. They're destroying this country. You know, it's blowing my mind. It is absolutely blowing my mind. And I'll be honest with you, the hardest part for me to get over is there is zero justice for all of these little kids that are raped and murdered by the wealthy elite. Okay. That is the hardest thing for me to stomach in all of this. There is nobody with two gray cells with any gray matter at all to rub together that's buying any of this. But there are people out there that are saying, well, you know, they'll create an excuse. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that today, I guess, to a certain extent. I just did. But today's one of those days I'm just not. I've just accepted the fact that we are doing in 249 years what it took Rome two millennia to do. You hear what I just said there? 249 years, that's how long it's taken us to do what Rome took two millennia to do. So, anyway. All right, so EPA bolsters transparency on geoengineering amid rising tide of conspiracy theories. Yeah, I love how when you see conspiracy theory thrown out there, folks, just know that the CIA came up with that term right after the Kennedy assassination to marginalize anybody that asked any critical questions of how Kennedy really died. Now, anybody with any gray matter at all knows that Kennedy was murdered. And with some of the documents that were released, we now know that, yeah, CIA was definitely in on it. FBI, to a certain extent, Israeli Mossad, they were in on it because of, you know, the Dimona reactor. And, you know, strangely enough, Kennedy's predecessor made absolutely sure that they ended up getting a bomb. How about that? So anyway, yeah, EPA. So the EPA, Lee Zeldin comes out. Folks, you can go ahead and believe what you want, but you're going to be fed a bunch of pablum for the American public. In fact, the geoengineering seems to be the best person to put anything out on that as of late has been Nicole Shanahan. And folks, I mean, you talk about born again hard, man. That lady is absolutely laying it down in a big way. And, you know, the people that she was allied with no longer are. And I'm talking like Bobby Kennedy and some of the others. So anyway, at least he brought it up because it's an open indication. The fact that he even had to talk about it tells you that the groundswell is becoming so great that they can't just throw out conspiracy theory anymore. But when, if you look, listen carefully to what Lee Zeldin said, he's calling them contrails. Just by doing that alone tells you you're about to be fed some garbage. But the reason why I'm calling this good news is that the fact that they have to acknowledge it, we have two states that have passed laws and the feds ignore those laws. Remember, those state bans only last up to 2,000 feet, but they're still spraying like crazy. I got friends in Tennessee and Florida either posting pictures on Twitter or sending me pictures of how bad it is. I mean, they have not moved the needle one bit. And take note that the governor down there and governor in both places, neither one of them is saying anything. The geoengineering secrets are probably even as far as what exactly they're doing is probably as guarded as the Manhattan Project was. That's why nobody can get to the bottom line of what exactly is in this stuff. To a certain extent, they can, but not the full extent of it. Remember, the last thing Julian Assange talked about before they locked him up was, quote,
that magic dust falling from the sky. And that's it. And then all of a sudden they wrapped him up, and here he is in the embassy, locked up for a decade. All right, second good news story. USDA ends race-based farm subsidies as federal and state governments target DEI programs in education and workplaces. Yeah. Well, a lot of the folks on the left here and around this Asheville area, they are going to lose their ever-loving minds on this one. I guarantee. Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I'm an equal opportunity racist, I guess. And when I call myself a racist, remember, that stands for rational and constitutionally inspired sensible thinker. But if you don't fall in line with whatever they tell you, you're the other kind of racist. Hogwash. Look, I'm not for subsidies for anybody. That's 99%. Well, that's a bit of hyperbolic there. I'd say the subsidies account for at least 50% of what is so screwed up in the American system. Do you know how many farmers I've met over the years? They get paid a pile of money to A, do absolutely nothing with that land, which isn't the best thing in the world to do. I mean, just paid a fair amount of money from your federal government to do absolutely nothing or grow this crop. No, I say we get rid of all subsidies. And you know who would probably agree? I know would agree with me is Joel Salatin. Let the market decide. If we just let the market decide, you know what? These guys would be, we would have so much food, it'd be coming out of our ears. We would be exporting stuff on a level that, but now they make more on subsidies than they do on the actual crops. So that's why they don't do anything with it. So anyway, yeah, USDA, you know, if you're black or brown or a woman or whatever else, you were put to the front of the line regarding some of these subsidies. Well, guess what? That ain't happening no more. And the only way to improve it is to get rid of all subsidies. Yep. Whatever you subsidize, yep, you're going to get more of it. And we don't need more fallow land out there. So I think it's a really bad idea. All right. Former MEP condemns hypocritical EU for being totally complicit in the Gaza genocide. Well, Mike Wallace, a former member of the European Parliament. Look, in a nutshell, the EU, they're super hyper woke. And then I'm breaking down this article in a nutshell. And the point he makes is, how do you stand idly by and say absolutely nothing when an entire group of people are being exterminated? Absolutely exterminated. So this was a scathing article where he's talking about, you know, you people are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. And you know what? They're still getting away with it. Oh, go over here. We got food for you. And then bam, you get over there and then you're dead. How about that? Anyway, with that said, y'all, look, that's probably too much good news for one day. So I'm going to go ahead and go over to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, do we need a government? I think the main issue holding us back from true independence is that people do not take responsibility for their own lives, the prime directive of permaculture, and still thinking that they actually need a government. Of course, we need governance, but we don't need a government. I mean, what do they actually do? In the best case scenario, they waste all our money. In our current reality, they are actively trying to kill us. All the normal things people might think government does, roads, bridges, infrastructure, etc., it's all contracted to private companies. If you want a new road in your neighborhood, get together with your neighbors and hire a company that builds roads. But what about regulations? What about regulations? They don't actually keep us safe because they are written by the companies that dominate the industry. And we know all they care about is maximum profits. So if people die in the process, oh well. But we surely need a government to have a military to protect us. Really? I'm all for a strong defense, but our biggest enemy is ourselves. We create more enemies than we remove. Why? Because war is big business, and business is booming right now. If we know that over 3,000 people in one area leads to theft and violence, The idea of a well-governed city of millions of people is just laughable, let alone an entire country. We need to go back to hyper-local tribal governance with areas designed in permaculture, ethics, and principles. Countries really only serve those in power. And what does it even mean to be a proud American right now? A supporter of genocide? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. And I agree with every single word. No, I totally agree. I don't think we need government, not the way it's set up. Certainly not this corruption that we see going on, where the powers that shouldn't be just gain more and more power and, you know, screw the rest of us. And I'm sorry if it seems I'm a little bit out of whack here, because I don't know, because I don't really see or talk to anybody on a daily basis outside of Michelle. So I know her mindset, but I don't necessarily know the zeitgeist of everybody out there, except for what little I can maybe catch on Twitter. But generally, it just seems like, I think everybody just feels like they're gut punched right now, or at least I do. And no, I don't need more government. What are they going to do? Steal more money and go murder people that I don't even know? And if you think I'm some hoople-headed marchy out there, look, folks, I'm a former soldier. So is my wife. So, no, I mean, my motto is don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. But yeah, even Eisenhower talked about exactly where we are right now in his farewell address. But I won't belabor that anymore. But yeah, once again, hat tip, Eric. And thanks, everybody, for being out there. Anyway, let's get down to brass tacks on some of this stuff. So, you know, how about the blackout kit that most preppers forget about? And it's not going to be a whole lot here, but I do want to cover some of the things. And some of it you've heard me talk about before. Some of you may, but we get new people all the time. So maybe a fair number haven't. Look, most people in the preparedness area, they have flashlights, which is a colossal mistake in a tactical environment, especially if you're using a white light. I've made the prediction before that if the power were to go out or martial law were to come, or, you know, God forbid, you know, we got, you know, Mad Max out there in the streets, those headlights are going to kill more people than any bullet ever would. I'm dead serious. Those headlights, the ones that everybody wants to wear on their hair, on their head, or their caps, or a white flashlight, that is going to get you killed. And yes, I've seen it over and over and over again. There is a time you can use such things, but in a tactical environment, never. And if you ever do need a light, the only time you would ever do it, number one, it would be a red lens, and it would be under a poncho, okay? And that would be to look at a map. Outside of that, I mean, even at night, you wait long enough, because most people have never done this before. If you wait long enough, your night vision will become sufficient enough for you to get around just fine. Yeah, without a flashlight. But most people have never stayed there. It takes about 2 hours to fully get your night vision on point. And then you'll be on a prepper camp out, and then it'll be some hooplehead that'll turn a light on, and then bam, just screwed up your night vision. And that's all it takes. So anyway, yeah, stay away from those things, you know, candles. Yeah, it's good to have all these things, but you want to avoid those things. Now, you might also consider things like solar generators, battery backups. I mean, I've talked about a number of them in this channel here. It's not a commercial or anything like that, but rechargeable batteries and battery packs. The technology is considerably better than what it was 10 years ago, okay? Take it from me as a journeyman electrician. No, is it perfect? Absolutely not. And for a house, you know, is gasoline and all those other things really awesome? Absolutely. But if you're in the situation we were in when this power went out around here with the hurricane, it got perilously close to where we could not even find gasoline or more gas. So you got to be thinking about those things. So that's where those batteries and those solar things might be kind of handy. But also consider, you got solar panels out there. Is there a way you can camouflage them? And I mean that. I'm not kidding around here, folks. Can you put them behind your house where it's not going to be visibly seen by everybody out there? Remember, sun's coming from the sky. It's going to glare out. But honestly, seriously, I've heard what really prompted this is a friend of mine hit me up. And I've known him for years. And we were in the electrical trade together. He's one of the few guys out there that has any kind of sense of preparedness. And he was asking me about generators. And then, you know, I told him about the virtues of a solar generator. And he did his examination. He knows what I know electrically. He's like, man, I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like the technology is where I'd love it to be. But I'm like, David, you might want to also consider the fact that you may not be able to get more fuel. And he's like, yeah, I know, but man, I'm just going to trust on diesel and gasoline and, you know, EP. I'm like, okay, that's fine, you know, but I would seriously consider an off-grid option. And a lot of people think are thinking just like him. I'm not saying you got to have your whole rig set up that way, but I would at least have a portion of your backup in batteries and solar, because obviously you may not be you may not be able to get a resupply. And if you're worried about a whole house or something like that, you want to consider 240 volt options as well. Extra power cords, adapters, and plugs for all your devices. I can't even begin to tell you how many cords I've gone through, like headphones where I used to wear them, because a lot of this stuff is made for planned obsolescence. So you better be thinking about all those other ways out there in which you can power these things up. But you're not powering anything up if you don't have a cord, especially if it's your phone or something like that. And like I said, they engineer these things to absolutely positively crap out after a period of time, even though they can make them so much better. Water, sanitation, and staying clean. So many folks forget about that. How much soap do you have put back? I mean, how much soap do you really have put back? I mean, you may, and when I say soap, folks, remember, tactical environment. If you're out there using these chemicals, let's say you just got to have Pantene, shampoo. Ask yourself, how far does the smell of that stuff extend in the wind? That's why a soldier uses, you know, something that has no scent at all, like ivory, or, you know, there's other soaps out there like lava. There's other ones out there. I can't even think of all the names of them right now, but honestly, think of unscented soap. Look, you just need to get clean. You're not going to be the belle of the ball or something like that, but a lot of people forget about putting back soap, something that just seems so fundamental. They have them in their bug out bag, but they don't have any more than that. You should have plenty of soap put back, or a means to make it or something like that, but soap is one of those things, I mean, in the preparedness world that so many people just don't even think about. A composting toilet, you may not think about it. In a worse, and you don't even need a toilet. You can use a 5-gallon bucket and, you can put your solids in there, whatever the case may be. Let's say you got a bunch of wood chips because you're going to need them. You're going to need to cover up whatever you put in there. Sawdust, toilet paper. People usually have plenty of toilet paper. For some reason, I've never understood whatever a disaster is about to blow out on a town. Look, all the other stuff's there, but the toilet paper is the first thing to go. I'm like, what? And the same thing, exact same thing happened with this hurricane. Toilet paper was the first thing to run out. And I'm like, boy, you people have really got your priorities a little sideways. Gravity-fed water, rainwater catchment, if you have it. Those are really, really good things. Flash drives with your documents, maps, passwords, things like that. What else do I have here? Food prep without the grid. Now, this is important. Now, if you have these little homemade MREs the way I do, all you're going to need is to put some water, you know, tear the top open, put some water in it. Bam. May not be cold, but hey, you got a meal. And it's nutritious, and it's better than those nasty MREs, okay? But let's say you are able to have a fire and you can somehow do it tactically. A rocket stove might be pretty darn handy. And you can build that out of a number 10 can. A solar oven, propane burner. You know, you're going to have diminishing returns on things like a propane burner because sooner or later you're going to run out. But a little rocket stove, I mean, I've made them, I mean, tiny before. And it's amazing what that thing can do in terms of boiling water or any number of other things you could do with it. Here's a big one, folks. I kid you not, this is one of the biggest things. Whenever you go on that prep on a prepper camp out, one of the biggest things that people forget and never even think about is a manual can opener. In the Army, we used to have these things called P-38s. You could put them on your keychain. Now, the Leatherman makes one, and that's why one of the reasons why I carry a Leatherman all the time is you can sit here and open up a can with the Leatherman. But if I had a nickel for all the number of people out there to think I got a knife, well, you're going to dull that knife up trying to get in that can, or you're going to have a little can opener. P-38, I mean, a thing may be 2 inches long. Okay, you could buy something like that, or you could use your Leatherman. That is one of the biggest things out there. I mean, this whole podcast was worth it just for that, folks. If I had a nickel for all the people that never even think about it. But yeah, if you got to eat canned goods, you got to get in that can somehow. Shelf-stable meals, you know, just add water options. I was just talking about it a moment ago. Okay, relying on the fridge is a doggone rookie mistake, I'll be honest with you. So you need to be thinking about those ways in which you don't have to rely on those. Let's think. I'm trying to think of all the things in all the years of doing this where people fundamentally miss the boat when it comes, and mistakes that we've made as well. Heat and cold, your body's, well, that's going to be your body's first line of defense is mitigation. Too much heat, too much cool, cold. Wool. My favorite natural fiber out there. There's a reason why every soldier is given wool socks, okay? There's a reason why we don't wear cotton. Because wool even insulates when it's wet. You don't get that benefit with cotton. Plus, it wicks moisture away from you. You can go ahead and buy all that synthetic garbage if you want, but folks, I have yet to try one, and I've tried it all. Everything from the polypropylene to you name it, there ain't nothing that works better than silk or wool. Yes, silk. In fact, as far as insulating capability, there is nothing better. You can go out and buy those cotton long johns if you want, but I guarantee you I could take I could get long johns made out of silk that are a quarter of the thickness of that cotton, and it will insulate you three times better. If you're too hot, it gets rid of it. If you're too cold, you know, if it's too wet, it wicks it away from you. Can't beat natural fibers, folks. And I'm a big fan of wool and silk, and both of them for all the reasons I just said. Small propane and alcohol heaters. I kind of understand it's good to have other options as well, but you can make a mini rocket stove too that I think you may have more utility out of. Mylar space blankets. Typically it's required. I mean, not, if you go on some of these trips, everybody's required to have one. Believe me, electric blankets, come on now. I mean, I've seen people actually pack those things and then they'll be out there with a solar charger. They've never tried it before. And they don't realize that you got one giant resistor and it's going to chew up all the life on your battery. So think about some of those mental, and this is like one of those things that's, if you got extra room, maybe pack it in there. I used to have a little chess set. I mean, a little fold out chess set. It weighed almost nothing, but you could play chess with a buddy. And I mean, I wasn't even supposed to have it, but honestly, it's little things like that. A deck of cards. There's a reason why in all the World War II movies, you always see some guys playing cards because you can always carry those no matter what. Okay. Maybe think about something for the kids, like mini puzzles and stuff like that. A notebook, a pen, just some way to put down your ideas. A Bible. And that's part of why I memorize, because I suspect, you know, there may come a day where the only access I may have to a Bible is what I got up here in my cabeza. So be thinking about those things. And obviously the other things like matches, lighters, fire starters. I'm a big fan of the fire starters because they work whether things are cold or not. You know, you get matches wet, good luck on that. Also, think about cash and small bills. I like to have small, medium, and large when it comes to cash at all times. So ATMs are going to be down. That was one of the big things we learned during that hurricane that came through. It blew my mind down at the local Ingles because everything was operating on a cash basis, and I mean everything. Nobody had power, so if you didn't have cash, you didn't get anything. And I couldn't believe how many people, I can't even tell you how many people were lined up. They had somehow gotten power to this one ATM machine, and people were lined up for as long as the eye could see because they had no cash on them. Most people don't even carry cash these days. Well, I wonder how many people changed up. I dare say not that many. But yeah, I always carry cash. And for obvious reasons, you know, tools, duct tape, zip ties, things like that, that make all the difference in the world. Things you can still, you don't need the entire set of tools with you. Just a small pair of what we call baby locks or channel locks that are really small. Duct tape. You don't need to bring the whole roll, you know, just take off along. Oh, you can buy a small roll, but believe it or not, when you need it, you need it. And it's kind of handy. Zip ties. You know what? You may have to tie some full up. And, you know, I mean, or you may have to hold up a, I don't know, whatever the case may be. You want some of those metal zip ties too. But believe me, those things come in very, very handy. How many of you folks out there that wear glasses have spare glasses? Medication, spare medication. How many people have thought beyond the month that you're currently on? Maybe not a whole lot out there. And don't forget about your animals too. I mean, that's one thing that it's easy to forget about because you don't necessarily shop for those guys every week. So you got to be thinking about that stuff. Look, if there's a blackout, hopefully I gave you some ideas of some things that a lot of people overlook when it comes to some of these grid down scenarios. So yeah, folks, it's a mess out there. To kind of come full circle with all this, I still stand by the predictions I made for 2025. I still think we are as crazy as it's been. I don't think you've seen anything yet, not by the end of this year. So get your bug out bags, look at them. You know, when you're traveling somewhere, do you have extra water with you? There was a time I made a colossal mistake just a couple of years ago. It was the dead of summer. A truck broke down and I'm like, good night, man. I don't even have any water. I mean, I felt so foolish. And I think I told everybody on this podcast about it. Little things like that. If you're going to travel somewhere, make sure you got way, way more water than you need because you never know what might happen. All right, y'all. I want to thank everybody that came in tonight. Sorry if I seemed a little bit, I wouldn't say down, but I guess disappointed. I guess I don't know what else to call it, but disappointed. And I think a number of others out there are too. But look, disappointed or not, folks, I'm going to keep trudging forward and I'm going to keep staying prepared because you know what? Until next time, y'all, we got to do this. We got to stay alert, stay alive. We'll see you next time. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling that just groove. We got the answers, all we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame, watch the world spin. From the snow, let's sprout. To harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive.